Our scriptures this weekend speak of the Lord's merciful love. We hear of St. Paul's own reflection on the grace of his conversion in our second reading. And then, of course, in the Holy Gospel, of our merciful Savior's intervention with the woman caught in adultery. First, St. Paul. This reading is taken from his epistle to the Philippians, which is, in my opinion, one of his best letters. Just powerfully packed with profound insights. St. Paul here is reflecting on the grace that he had as he traveled to Damascus. If you remember, Paul was a zealous Pharisee who persecuted the church of God. He had been responsible for the martyrdom of St. Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church. He had incited the mob to stone St. Stephen. Interesting. So the second reading has an allusion to stoning, and then the gospel has a direct reference to it. And so as Paul was traveling to Damascus to persecute the Christians, the Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision and said to him, "Why do you persecute me?" Now it had been a bright light that had shined down from heaven upon Paul, and he fell to his feet. Now, God bless Caravaggio and his paintings, but there was no horse involved. If you read Acts chapter 9, no horse is ever mentioned. So Caravaggio famously gave us that image, as powerful as it may be. But Paul goes, and very quickly, within days, he's found in the temple preaching the gospel. And the Christians begin to sing, "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the gospel." And all were astounded. St. Paul had come to know the mercy of the Lord as the Lord had intervened in his life. And so that's what he's reflecting on in this third chapter of Philippians, when he says, "I consider everything a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He'd given up everything, a successful career and reputation, in order to follow Jesus the Messiah. He goes on to say, "For his sake," that is, for Christ's sake, "I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Now that's a very tame translation, because this is the only time in the New Testament Greek that a cuss word is used. I'll just say this. St. Paul doesn't say rubbish. He says something much more colorful. But he considers everything as rubbish compared to that of knowing Christ. Wow. And then he goes on to say, "I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus." What a powerful understanding of what it means to be a Christian, to have been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. You see, because we all know the Hollywood films, and we know the reality through the scriptures of being possessed by demons. And yes, that's all real. But we forget that we can also be possessed by the Lord Jesus. We can become so one with him that our life becomes an extension of his very life. That we begin to look like Jesus, hence the beard. We can begin to talk like Jesus, and judge like Jesus, and love like Jesus. If we, like St. Paul, let him take possession of us. Okay, secondly, the gospel. The woman caught in adultery. So we see how the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus, but as always, he outmaneuvers them. He neither betrays the law nor condemns the sinner. Interesting. How could he? Because he himself is the lawgiver. So he can't contradict the law, and yet he didn't come to condemn sinners, but to save them. And so we see him executing his role as Savior. And the Lord's mercy in our lives, brothers and sisters, is always ordered towards our healing from sin and our restoration of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Hence, Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, sin no more." This last Sunday, some of you joined me in watching the film Unplanned. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer, spoiler alert. So, if you really want to see it and you don't want any spoilers, you're more than free to leave for the next 5 minutes and come back. I won't be offended. But the film Unplanned is the story of Abby Johnson. And Abby Johnson is a young woman who was employed by Planned Parenthood. It's a fascinating story. The movie starts by showing, and this, let me tell you just up front, this is a true story. It begins with a young college student, Abby, finishing her last year of college. She's at a booth and she sees a Planned Parenthood volunteer table, and they ask her if she would want to help with helping people into their clinic. And she begins by saying, "Well, I'm from a pro-life family, so no." But very quickly in the conversation, she's brought in, and she finds herself working and volunteering at Planned Parenthood. Well, over a course of some time doing this, she's actually given a role of being a clinic director, the person in charge of her local Planned Parenthood. And at one point, one of the abortion doctors asks Abby to come and to assist while an abortion is being performed. And the way that this doctor would do an abortion would be by using an ultrasound so that he could more easily see what he's doing. And as Abby watched that ultrasound, she saw the truth, the reality, that that was a child in the womb. Because as the doctor was going in with a needle, the child, the baby in the womb began to pull back. And Abby saw this child could feel. This child had an instinct in the womb to pull away from danger. And then you watch the horrific scene of the actual abortion happening through the ultrasound. Abby Johnson breaks down in tears as she sees the reality before her eyes. And it's interesting because throughout the film you see these pro-lifers outside of Planned Parenthood who are praying very peacefully and trying to convince women to choose life and to support them. And who does Abby go to? But to those pro-lifers. As she walks into their office and says, "I need out, help me," she's encountered by tremendous love and mercy. The stereotype of the pro-life community isn't real, and she sees that. She's embraced and she's helped out. Hers is a story like the gospel of encountering the mercy of the Lord, but this time through his body, the church. Abby has gone forth since she left Planned Parenthood and has helped over 500 employees get out of Planned Parenthood. She has said that when you and I and other pro-lifers are praying peacefully outside of the clinics that Planned Parenthood's own statistic says that up to 75% of women who had signed up to have an abortion that day don't come in. Prayer works, and lives are saved. Brothers and sisters, there's no doubt that we're seeing abortion moved forward in an aggressive manner like we haven't seen before. One only has to think of a few months ago of a Catholic governor in the state of New York signing a bill into law in his state allowing for abortions right before a child is born. And anybody who saw the photos of him signing that into law saw the reality of how demonic this is, as he smiled giddily while children are condemned to death. We saw how the state of Virginia was this close to doing the same thing with infanticide. Polls are showing that more and more Americans are waking up to the reality and identifying as pro-life in ways that never before we have as a country. This is a time where we need to be strong in our faith and to bring the healing and merciful love of God into our society. Because not only do we need to fight like we've never fought before for an end to this tragedy, but we have to, as a church, minister to those who have been sold a false bill of goods. It's time. This is the time. I invite all of you to join our parish Advocates for Life. We meet tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the Rectory Garden Room. Sorry, Monday. I feel like it's Sunday evening. To help pray and work and champion for life. To bring the healing power of the gospel to those whose lives have been destroyed through our secular culture's message, which basically is license. But Jesus says that he who sins is a slave to sin. And the power of the gospel sets us free. And no one, just like Abby Johnson, no one is excluded from the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter if you've had an abortion. No one is excluded from the mercy of Christ. If you find yourself in need of Christ's forgiveness, come quickly to the confessional to experience the power of God's forgiveness and love. And let us pray our rosaries daily for an end to abortion. Let us, just as David took his slingshot and brought down the mighty Goliath when no one in that Israelite army thought he could do it. How can this poor shepherd boy with a slingshot and 5 stones bring down this mighty warrior? Let that be our rosary. That rosary we carry as Catholics in our pockets is our slingshot. And the world may say, what can you do with this? But with God, all things are possible. In those small little beads in which we pray those Hail Marys and reflect on the life and mysteries of Jesus, will bring about our salvation. Praise be Jesus Christ.